This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at GeorgetownVisitation.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I remember hearing Cardinal George once say that what we call Catholic social teaching starts and ends with the family. In other words, if something that is proposed for us, for our lives, by the social scientists or the professors in the universities or the government, if it would be harmful to our family, then it would be right off the bat immoral. No ifs, ands, or maybes. No qualifications, no conditions. If something is bad for the family, no matter how wonderful it might seem for everything else, then it is bad in itself. Now that certainly is a wonderful principle to guide us in our thinking about a million proposals designed by the movers and the shakers for our lives. If it hurts the family, it's no good. And this is so because the family is the basic unit of society. The family is the first step, the first building block, the foundation for everything else in our lives and in our world. And that's why we need every one of us to start paying more attention to what is going on around us in politics, in the media, in the newspapers, in the culture at large, to determine whether or not whatever is happening out there is happening for our good and the good of our families. And if we should discover that what we see is not good for our families and does not lead them to God and does not help them be good to others or even be happy or help get them to heaven, then we must do everything possible to pull the plug, pull ourselves out of that mess, and set ourselves and our families free and on a more proper road to God. Now this discernment process is not easy because we live and breathe and move and have our being in a world that we get so used to that we don't even notice anything different anymore. A fish that lives in water really does not know that he's wet, because his whole environment is wet and he has nothing to help him make the distinction of dry. Remember the frog story, put in the pot of lukewarm water? And you raise the temperature of the water maybe 1 degree every 30 minutes. It's very, very slow. But the frog never knows that he is boiling to death. He never knows that he is in danger because he is so used to his environment that he cannot tell the moment when his environment is about to kill him. Now, there's no way we can avoid living within an environment, within a culture, within a context. We live here and we're living within a culture. This is the envelope, so to speak, within which we live. And we live our lives here. And we live in modern America. For good or for ill, we live in modern America. It's not old Catholic Europe. It's not old Catholic Mexico. We don't farm anymore. We don't live on the land anymore. We don't live off the land. We don't get up with the sun. We don't go down with the sun. We don't sing the songs of our ancestors. We don't live in a little village where we lived for 1,000 years. We don't tell the same stories we used to tell for 1,000 years. We live in modern America. We watch hours upon hours of television and listen to hours and hours of radio. And we go through reams of newspapers and magazines and journals, and on the block and at work and at home, we discuss all the things that we have seen on television and heard on the radio and read in the newspapers, the things that have filled our eyes and filled our ears. And we think and talk and discuss about everything that they want us to think about and talk about and discuss. We see and read and hear and watch nothing except what someone out there wants us to see and read and hear and watch. This is our culture. This is the environment in which we live, and it is full of values that are not our values. But unless we become aware and start noticing these things, those values out there will become our values. We cannot help it. This is how we will be formed, and we will start to think and act and live no longer like good Catholics, but like modern Americans, where our standard of right and wrong will be determined by what's good for me, by what I want. The first day that we find ourselves thinking, the abortion's not so bad. After all, it's someone's choice for what's good for them, no matter that it's not good for the baby. That's the day we become good, secular, modern Americans. The first day that we think that maybe mercy killing is not so bad, and that maybe it is more merciful to put grandma and grandpa to sleep. That's the day we become modern Americans who think that what is most important is that I not be inconvenienced by someone else's sickness. How about gay marriage? It's coming, and it's coming soon, and it will be a universal right before too long. And with the constant drumbeat in the newspapers and the news shows and the dramas and the talk radio, have we begun to accept that it's just two guys in love who want to get married? And as soon as we find ourselves asking, well, what's the problem with that? We need to realize we've lost ground here too. For we will have lost our understanding that marriage is about family. It's about children. It's about parents. It's about love and life. And it was birth control that brought us to gay marriage. Now, there's a whole host of such issues where we Catholics need to be aware of what's going on around us and what's trying to feed our ears and flood our eyes, and not just accept these things in the newspapers and television as part of the landscape, because that's when the problem becomes a crisis. And it's not just about love and life issues, economic as well. I just read the other day that the unemployment rate in America, if figured more traditionally, is about the same as it was at the height of the Great Depression. Now, how did that happen? How many immoral financial laws and loopholes were passed by the people we put into office over all these years, laws that were good for banks, good for financiers, good for the billion-dollar investments, but bad for small business, bad for jobs, bad for homes, and bad for families? But as I say, these laws were passed by people that we elected as our legislators. And people and families, like the people and families of St. Odilo, just normal, workaday people, they end up as victims. But we don't even think of ourselves as victims. This is just the way it is. We're so accustomed to the media vocabulary and the television analysis, so used to their explanation of things, that even when we have been laid off or kicked out of our homes because of some strange mortgage that they worked out for us, all we can do is shrug our shoulders and say, well, I don't have a job because we're in a difficult economy. You bet we're in a difficult economy. But is no one to be held responsible for the difficult economy? Every day people tell me that they're looking for jobs. Every day. And would to God that I could employ more people. But what a difficult economy means is that our families are suffering. There's less food for their children, less clothes on their backs, less heat in their homes. And I think that when 30% of a family's salary is going to taxes, and how well they spend our tax money, and some poor mother is forced to go to work, she maybe doesn't want to go to work, but she's forced to go to work just to pay the taxes, tell me that there's something not wrong. And tell me that that's not terrible for our families. But who notices it? Not on the TV, not on the radio, not in the newspapers. This is the way it is. When was the last time we ever heard a bishop speak about exorbitant taxes that forced mothers out of the home into some job somewhere just to make ends meet? When was the last time we heard anyone say it might be good for mothers to stay at home? No, we just accept it as part of the landscape of America. When I was a kid, things were lean in my house. I remember a time when we were eating chicken gizzards every night. We split a pint of Walgreens ice cream seven ways, but my policeman father somehow made enough so that we could live in a bungalow in Marquette Park, drive a car, and send five kids to Catholic schools for $50 a year. When did they turn things around on us? When did they make it so that we couldn't live like that anymore? And when will we discover that we don't have to accept this matrix in which they have put us? Now, I know this is the second Sunday of Advent, and I should be talking about the baby Jesus, but I will next week. But I cannot help but think, actually to relate it to Christmas, is that the prime example of how we have been persuaded to another set of values is the way they make us behave every Christmas. To spend all of Christmas in an unbridled frenzy of shopping and buying and consuming mountains of plastic garbage from China. And did you see all that nonsense about Black Friday and how people are getting up at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning to be the first in line to buy some piece of garbage from China? What efforts they made, what sacrifices they did to get these big deals and bargains, but to what end? What will it serve them? Will their children and spouses appreciate what they bought and how much they struggled to obtain those things? Is this what Christmas has come to mean? An early morning at the end of December when the whole family is gathered under the tree and they're tossing one box after another on top of all the wrapping paper? And why they have to wait until December 25th is anybody's guess. Will those gifts satisfy the deeper longings for God and love? I doubt it. And the proof of that will be all the Christmas family fights that all those gifts did nothing to quell or mollify. Will those families be at Mass on the Sunday after Black Friday? Or will they be there on Christmas? What does it mean to them anymore? And I do not blame these families. They are the frog in the pot of water boiling to death in the sea of stuff. And they don't even know it. They have been convinced by the mind-numbing drone on television and radio and the newspapers that life is not about God, life is not about Jesus, life is not about the Blessed Virgin Mary, life is not about quiet family moments, eating together, talking together, and singing together, maybe even praying together. Life is about accumulating more junk. And that's what they and we are learning. And today on this second Sunday of Advent, maybe we can pray for them and pray for each other that at some point soon, and maybe even because of the coming of Christ at Christmas, we'll begin to understand that whatever they are telling us out there on the television, the radio, the newspapers, the magazines, whatever they're telling us out there about life, about sex, about money, about politics, is not true, is not holy, and is not good for our families. And then at that point, we can shake off of this culture, clear our eyes and ears, and fill them in another context, the beautiful one given to us by our God and our church, the one that makes for saintly lives and saints. It will take an incredible amount of effort and grace to shake off of this culture and be aware of what's going on, but it's more than worth it. It will mean the very salvation of our souls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.